fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Hey everybody, welcome to Just for Variety. Today is March 27th, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. My guest today is Joey King. The award-winning star of The Act and the Kissing Booth trilogy's latest project is the Hulu drama, We Were the Lucky Ones, based on Georgia Hunter's book of the same story about her family's fight to survive and reunite during the Holocaust. I also talked to King about being directed by Taylor Swift in her music video for I Can See You, 12 years after starring in the Grammy-winning superstar's Mean video. Plus, we had to chat about Zac Efron, King's co-star, along with Nicole Kidman in the upcoming A Family Affair. But before we get to my conversation with King, let me first tell you about a very special event I attended just a few days ago in Los Angeles. In fact, I was the only journalist invited inside to cover the Starry Affair. Kerry Washington, Amanda Decadene, and journalist and the Meteor founder Cindy Levy were among the hosts for an afternoon gathering to celebrate Christine Blasey Ford and her new memoir, One Way Back. Ford is the Stanford University professor who was catapulted into the spotlight in 2018 when she alleged that then U.S. Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her when they were teenagers in 1982 during a party in Bethesda, Maryland. Washington delivered the main toast. "We stand with you because you have stood with us so courageously. And we honor you and we celebrate you. We lift our glasses to you tonight," the Scandal star said. "To your courage, to your beauty, to your generosity as you continue to do more than you have to. You owe us nothing and we owe you everything." Levy read a message sent by Anita Hill before Ford offered brief remarks thanking everyone for their support. "It's so nice to meet new people and new friends and allies," Ford said. The guest list included Elizabeth Banks, Marissa Tomei, Busy Phillips, Dylan Mulvaney, and Monica Lewinsky. You can read more about the party at Variety.com. Welcome back to Just for Variety. Joey King has been acting since she was just 4 years old. She made her acting debut in a commercial for Life cereal. Now 24, her credits include television and film across a wide range of genres. King is best known for her award-winning work as Gypsy Rose Blanchard in The Act and the Netflix rom-com Kissing Booth trilogy opposite Jacob Elordi and Taylor Zakhar Perez. Her latest is one of her most serious projects yet, We Were the Lucky Ones. The Hulu limited series is the real-life story of a Polish family trying to survive and reunite during the Holocaust. Based on Georgia Hunter's novel of the same name, the show stars Logan Lerman as her grandfather, Addie, and King as his little sister, Helena, two of five siblings trying to stay alive and bring their family back together during World War II. I will admit, at times, We Were the Lucky Ones was hard to watch. I even had to turn it off a couple of times because of how real and raw the storytelling was. It's not graphic. Well, yes, it can be graphic, but it also shows the physical and especially the emotional nightmare that spread throughout Eastern Europe during Hitler's reign. As a Jew, I felt myself attached in a very personal way. While most of my family came to the United States from Poland and Russia decades before the Holocaust, I couldn't help but wonder about those family members who didn't leave Europe. It's something that I think about a lot, and this show really sort of drove that point home. I also spoke to King about Gypsy Rose Blanchard's recent release from prison. Plus, find out what King said about not only starring in Taylor Swift's I Can See You music video, but what it was like being directed by the music superstar herself. We caught up over Zoom from Los Angeles, where she lives with her new husband and their adorable dogs. Okay, let's talk about We Were the Lucky Ones.
Okay.
Joey, I have to tell you, it was hard to watch.
That's, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a heavy show. It's a very heavy show. I have to say, the heaviness of it, though, It's really lovely because it's like it's a very hopeful story with a lot of optimism, but it's not an easy road. Absolutely not. It's a tough road for this family for sure. But did you enjoy it? Did you
I
like
did know I enjoyed it, but it wasn't, you know, listen, not everything has to be, you know, mindless television. Obviously, this is not.
Right. No, this is not your Love is Blind season six.
No, it is not. And it's, there were just moments and I don't know, you know, I think you have to be in this certain mindset when you're sitting down and watching it. It's not something you can just flip on casually, which I've learned. There were scenes that, I mean, listen, we know about the Holocaust. I've seen every movie, every documentary. I'm Jewish. You know, this is something obviously that is, you know, we know about, but I don't know what it, I don't know how to explain. I'm not a television or movie critic, so I don't know how to put it into
right.
words, but the
your heart.
Yeah, and the realism of it.
Yeah.
The pain and the how it shows the eventual sort of erosion that's happening and how some members of the family are like, it's not gonna happen here.
Yeah.
And then it's happening. And I of course sat there and go, what would I do? What
yeah,
would
I
I
all
do?
do that. I think we all kind of feel when I read the scripts, when I watched it and sat down and watched it, and when I'm playing this character who's a real person, like that's the thing that I really think it's important to make people know. It's like this is a true story of a real family, and the author of this book that it's based on is a member of that family, it just like generations down. So deeply personal to all the people involved. And it's just you sit there and you're like, could I have ever been so courageous in this situation? Could I ever have experienced this? What this would have broken me? You know, it's like it's a really like wild place to put yourself mentally for a long time.
Yeah, when they were talking about going to Palestine or you know, the scene where they're trying to get the baby granddaughter to a Catholic family, another family, and I'm like, and then you know, you do this thing where it's like I'm watching this. This is a TV series. It's not reality, but it is reality, and it's, you know, I just think this show will have everyone thinking, especially what's going on in the world right now, what would you do?
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone could have that answer unless you're living it. I just don't, because it's so unimaginable.
It's so unimaginable. It's so horrible. It's just devastating. You know, obviously our show, because we know, like, you know, there's so much that's been made about the Holocaust, about World War II, from so many different perspectives. That's the most unique part about, and the worst part about, you know, war is all the lives that are affected by it. So everyone's got a story. And this is just one of those stories that we haven't seen yet. And, you know, there's so much out there that is really violent, that is really graphic, that is really hard, really hard to watch. I think anything about this subject matter can be hard to watch. But we really wanted to make a show that like is truthful, but is also, you know, the violence and the graphicness is not so abrupt that you just can't watch it. You know, this is something like I view this as a show that, first of all, it's just a beautiful show. I'm so proud to be part of it. But also, like, I would feel comfortable watching this with like my 13-year-old niece, you know, and in terms of like education for them. Falling in love with this family, you know, a show that they can watch that's about something that really happened, because there's a lot of incredible stories about this period of time that of course I would never show, you know, my niece or whatever, but this is one of those stories where it truly is a tale of hope and survival, and I feel like it's one of those you can really connect with not just adults but also, you know, teenagers can watch this and absorb it, and it's not going to be, you know, hopefully too traumatizing for them.
What kind of discussions do you have during, you know, whether it's a table read or rehearsals or before filming, what kind of discussions do the cast and crew have? Because I imagine you want to make sure that everyone feels safe, to be working on this, to be filming this during the day and to go back home at night or to your hotel, wherever you are. I feel like there were probably discussions, or was there even someone on set to sort of say, hey, you could go talk to this person?
There actually was our Hulu hired like trauma consultants, which I thought was extremely lovely of them to, have that sort of protection for us in that way, especially on days where we were filming particularly hard scenes. But I do think the best support came from, we had a really lovely group of people, like truly so kind. The cast and crew were fabulous, and we really leaned on each other. We were very good about being there for each other, holding each other in those hard moments. But also, I personally, and I think anyone who is a method actor is truly so brave and amazing, but like I'm personally not a method actor. And when shooting a show like this, I just don't know how I could be, because having those moments of release in between setups and in between takes with your friends of, like, this is so serious. Sometimes you need that, release at the snack table with each other. Those are really important moments for me that like helped so much mentally with working on the show, because it got really dark. I mean, it would get so sad, and we would like there'd be times where you just didn't know when it was going to hit you. Everyone had different moments where, we're all sitting there having a nice time together, just filming a scene, and then someone's hyperventilating and crying because it's just like it's a wave that washes over you. And the best part was like, everyone understood that. Everyone had those moments. There was absolutely no judgment from anyone. We were just totally there for one another.
Did you ever have to use the trauma consultants? Did you ever talk to them?
I never sat down with them. They would come and check on each of us a lot, which I thought was so great. But I never like used them in the way that they were totally there for us. But I would like call my castmates at the end of like a hard day, and we would kind of debrief together, which was really lovely and helpful.
What kind of, I mean, obviously there's the novel, but what kind of research did you find yourself doing to, we know there are a lot of movies, we know there are a lot of documentaries, a lot of literature. Probably too much for you, obviously, to try to
Absorb, right?
absorb. So what did you do? What was your research like?
I mean, it's interesting as a young Jewish woman, you unknowingly start your Holocaust research at a very young age. It's just something that was always talked about, that was always educationally used in my family. We would, obviously required reading in school was something, but beyond that, my family, my mom has like a collection of books that she's read that are about the Holocaust from all different perspectives, from soldiers' perspectives, from people who are hiding Jewish families, like so many different perspectives. So growing up, it was kind of important to her and to my grandmother that I read those things. And so the research quote started at a very young age. When I got this role, there was like, a deeper desire of understanding, of course, from me as well. We had a lovely researcher on the project named Daniel, who provided us with information and, information that whether we knew or didn't know the specifics of, it was just like a huge packet we could kind of comb through and find what was helpful. Even things like asking what someone like my character, who is not in a concentration camp, who is actively trying to pass as an Aryan woman, what kind of things would she be able to access in terms of food, like in terms of clothing? How would she buy, like these kinds of things that, you don't necessarily see those scenes on camera, but they just matter mindset wise. And just I think that the hardest part was just knowing that I needed to put myself in this state of mind where I would be reading these books that were extremely dark from very different perspectives. I read this book, gosh, it's escaping me right now, but it's from the perspective of a doctor working in Auschwitz, a Jewish doctor, who's like forced to do, to exhume his fellow Jews. And it's just like there was so much, Shoah interviews, the Shoah documentary. We would all watch it together as a cast to try to just support each other, because it's just really tough to watch that stuff alone. So Knowing everything you already know is important, but you have to kind of sink yourself in deeper into a mindset that's like dark. And so that's where that kind of research comes in, where you're watching those things and reading those things and consuming constantly, with breaks, of course. You know, I would have my friend Eva, who played Bella in the show, you know, she'd come over, we'd watch Finding Nemo one Friday night because we just needed to, you know.
Have you ever experienced anti-Semitism personally?
I've never experienced it like in real life, which I'm well, actually that's not true. That was one time in elementary school that was, I don't think this kid meant anything by it, but he was like making fun of a Hanukkah song that like I was singing. But that was like the only time that sticks out to me. But online is it's constant, but that's very different than real life. You know, I have to say, like, it hurts, of course, but it's not, you know, if that's something that I experienced every day in real life, people hide behind their keyboards and they can say whatever they want. I could say whatever I want behind my keyboard, but, you know, saying something to someone's face is a very different story. And I'm lucky enough to have never really had a run-in with that.
Are you surprised by how much anti-Semitism is thrown your way online?
I joined Instagram when I was 12, and like within the first couple months, I got like my first anti-Semitic remark. And it just kind of, you know, it would dip in terms of how frequent or how much it would happen. And it would kind of roller coaster in terms of how often I would experience it. But that was shocking when I was that age. Now I just kind of like expect it because, you know, anti-Semitism is not the only thing I experience in terms of bullying online. So it almost just feels like one of many symptoms of a grand diagnosis of, you know, horrible internet people. But like, I'm saddened, but I'm not really surprised, I guess, by it. You know, also just like making shows like this, people don't like that. People feel like it is shoving the Jewish condition down your throat. And it's like, well, I don't agree with that, but okay. I don't know what to say to that.
Right. I mean, that's just, but how do you react when you're 12 years old? Do you go to your mom? Do you go to your grandmother? You see that. How do you even, again, wrap your mind around it?
It's like it's weird because I knew about so much about the Holocaust. You know, I knew everything about it at that age. You know, my family was not like, oh, that's not something we talk about until they're older. Like, it was just, I don't know when I learned about the Holocaust, because it was always talked about in my family in terms of like, it was never this like, we're going to sit down now and talk about this. So it was like kind of an extension of like this thing I already learned, but I'd never experienced it towards myself before. And so I went to my mom and my grandmother. That's exactly what I did. I was just like, whoa, like, and my mom's kind of reaction was, she wasn't like, oh my God, like, how could they say that? She was like a very like sad knowing feeling, you know? She was like, yeah, well, that's really awful. And she was like, you know, you're a young girl, you're an actress, you're in the public eye, you know, if Instagram's too much for you, you know, we delete it off your phone, like whatever you feel is necessary. But like, you know, she was very supportive about it. But it's interesting, you know, you grow up in we're not religious. I mean, like, I'm not like really, I practice the like big holidays because I love the tradition of it, but I'm not a religious person. But like when you grow up Jewish in any kind of way, like whether you're religious or not, there's just like a sad knowing from your grandparents and parents of what kind of anti-Semitism you'll experience in your life. They just kind of know it's going to happen.
Yeah, I remember my maternal grandmother would just say, it will happen. This is what's going to happen. Yeah. And, you know, when you're a kid, you're sort of like, it sort of just becomes part of a fabric of who you are as a Jew.
Yeah, and like, you also just, like, don't think anything's a big deal as a kid.
No, no.
Because you don't get it. Right. And then you get older and you're like, oh, like, okay, that's kind of serious. Like, my first anti-Semitic comment when I was 12, I was like, oh, that's horrible. And, like, now it's interesting. Like, now that I'm older, I'm like, no, that was fucked up. But as a kid, I was like, oh, that's bad. But like, it didn't register how serious, like the comment was so bad. And like, it didn't register at the time how bad that was. I know I was upset about it, but like, I am more upset about it now than I was when I was like 12, 13.
There have been, you know, other recent Holocaust projects. And I don't know, like, you know, by the numbers, if it's more now than ever. It seems like there seem to be more projects now. Again, I don't know if we feel it more because we know anti-Semitism is on the rise. So we're sort of more in tune to it. Why do you think Hollywood is greenlighting these projects?
That's a really good question. You know, it's never something that people, it's never easy, gets easier. It doesn't get easier to watch these kinds of things. And, you know, in a world where, you know, Jewish people aren't extremely well liked, it is surprising to me that there are many projects being greenlit like that, but it's a pleasant surprise. I actually don't know. Like, why do I think it is? I think that okay, my own personal belief, if I'm coming up with something right now, is like the last of our survivors from the Holocaust are they're dwindling. We have very few left, and they're going to be gone extremely soon. And all we'll have is our history books, our books about it, our movies and TV about it. But you know, for all the people that deny it ever happened, there's not going to be any people to say, no, I was there. No one's going to be left. So, you know, I think it's super important to keep that part of history alive, so that, you know, it doesn't happen again. That's the only reason I can totally think of off the top of my head.
That makes sense. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, King talks about working with Zac Efron, being directed by Taylor Swift, and more. Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm Mark Malkin. Here's more of Joey King. Family Affair, Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron.
Woo-woo!
So, were you a High School Musical fan?
To say I was a fan would be a gross understatement. To say I was obsessed would be a little bit more accurate.
So what was it like seeing Zach the first day on set and you were working with Mr. High School Musical?
It's kind of it's super crazy. It's super crazy because I was so excited to meet him, but not like in this way when I was a kid where I was like, I'm going to meet him or I'm going to die. But I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm a fan. I think he's so wonderful. Like the craze I had when I was younger about him, that's amazing. And now I get to work with this person. How lucky am I to like realize this dream of mine? And so I have to say, like, going into it with that excitement and that, you know, history of absolutely just loving him and his work, it was so amazing to work with him. And obviously, like, obsessed with Nicole Kidman, like, duh. Yeah. Like, goes without saying. Right. But they both exceeded the expectations you could ever have about, you know, someone you're a massive fan of or someone that you idolize or have all these, you know, thoughts about in terms of, like, how big of a fan you are. You wonder what they're going to be like. It's such a pleasant surprise when people you love and admire like that are just like the kindest, most lovely people to work with. Because, you know, those two are such powerhouses. Yeah. You have no idea. Like you don't know like what they're going to be like. You know, it could be anything. And, you know, a lot of times people say, don't meet your heroes. And a lot of times those people are right. But this time they were wrong. These guys are fabulous.
Did you have Zac Efron posters up on your wall when you were a kid?
My mom wouldn't let me have posters on my bedroom wall because she didn't want me to ruin the paint, but I was allowed to have posters on my desk. So I had High School Musical posters on my desk and Lady Gaga posters on my desk and One Direction posters on my desk.
That's good. That's really good. I have to ask you about the act sort of becoming, you know, rising in the viewership now. Gypsy Rose Blanchard is out of prison. How did you find out that she was going to be free?
Well, I always knew that she was going to be eligible for parole because I knew so much about her. And so I knew that her parole hearing was going to be coming up. And then I had found out that it went well and she was getting released. And that was just all such good news. And, she was there for, I think, was it 7 years or like 6.5 or 7 years, and she served her time, and now she's out. I think it's so great that she's free and she can really start her life now.
Is there a moment where you'd want to meet her and sort of sit down and explain where you were coming from?
She and I have privately kind of talked a little bit, which has been really nice because there's a lot of online, just hate fueled rumors that there's a beef between the two of us, which is like, there's like, where would that even come from? So I have to say, like, having that private conversation with her was really lovely because, we both know that there's absolutely no ill will towards one another. And I really appreciated that we got to say those things to each other that were just like really sweet and supportive. Because, people are stupid. People assume whatever they want, and people are just gonna like make up stuff because it's funny to them. And I, you know what? Guess what? Some of the memes that I saw, they were funny, to be honest with you. They were hilarious. The memes about me, hilarious sometimes, even if I think they're mean. Sometimes they're great. So, but I'm really happy for her, and I'm so glad we got the chance to talk a little bit because it just like it's nice to there was no air to clear at all. Like there was nothing wrong, but it was nice to just connect for a minute.
Good. Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, the internet definitely has their version of what's happening.
Yeah, which is, it's like I always say this, it's like if I spent time correcting every false thing I read about myself, I would have no time for anything else. So, like, I just don't address anything because it's like, it's never like, my life, my actual real life. Like, I'm super happy, so I have no reason to like directly address these things online.
But you've talked to her since she got out of prison, or was it beforehand? I mean,
Since.
that's amazing. I love hearing that, Johnny. Now we got to talk about I Can See You.
For a second, I was like, I have my camera on. What do you mean? Was like, yes, of course you can see me. What are you talking about, Mark? Oh my God.
Really funny.
Okay. Yes, let's talk about it.
Because we have not talked about this since you did it. You were directed by Taylor Swift in the Taylor Swift video.
Sure was.
What is she like as a director?
So some people might forget, or they might not know, but I worked with her when I was 10 or 11, 10 or 11, on her music video for her song Mean, and she directed that as well.
I
And
totally forgot that.
so I got to work with her then, and it was this beautiful full circle moment. And I mean, she's
Wow.
just like, it's funny. I feel like not you, I just feel like everyone in general wants to hear something negative or cheap. No, not
Oh
you. I'm saying like
my God,
the
no.
internet wants to, whatever, but like she's simply lovely. There's like she's just simply lovely, extremely admirable person. Like I'm just like I am in awe of her energy, her talent, her motivation, her drive, her talent. I already said that, but it's true. She's just great.
Was she a director who did a lot of tapes? Was it sort of like, hey, try it this way, try it that way? Or was she sort of, she had her vision, you got it, boom, you moved on?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think she was had her vision, but also loved seeing what, the actors come up with and do on their own, and wants to make sure she got it. But she's I mean she does like a few takes, and when she has it, she has it. She's a confident director, and I think that's really, really amazing.
And it's such a fun video too.
It's such a fun video. It's such a fun video. I felt like such a badass too. And like, I remember watching it for the first time and I was like, oh my God, I look like I've got muscles in that shot. I don't have muscles.
Does she text you and say, be in my video? How did it come about?
It came about through, she reached out to my team, which I thought was lo so lovely. Like she knew I was working and she was super professional about it, which I That was great. And then when it was all like set to be, you know, she reached out personally and we were just kibitzing about how excited we were to do this together again and to see each other again. It had been a long time. And so it was all like she's just so respectful, professional, and also like such a girl's girl and like just loves to chat and talk and like so every way that she went about it was perfect. It was so lovely.
So when are you going to direct?
That's a very good question. I like that question. I don't know. I do want to. I would love to. I feel like I'd like to garner a little bit more of a taste and a style first. As an actor, I have a very clear idea of what I want for myself in my head. I don't know if I can like paint, put it to like words or picture all the time, but like I can see it and I can see what I want. As a director, it is such a hard job. I have so much respect for directors. I married one, for God's sake. But I think it's just the hardest job. I think it's such an amazing job, and I would love to someday. And I think that day is not necessarily around the corner, but I would say it has to happen. I'm such a freaking lover of film and TV that I would really love to have that opportunity to experience the level of difficulty that it is.
I really want to have anxiety, is basically what you're
I'd
saying.
love to have some more anxiety. I'd love it. I have so much already. Just give me some more. You know, I have such I'm not an anxious person, self-proclaimed, but I am. Internally, I am. I have nightmares about earthquakes pretty much every night. And I live in Los Angeles. Go figure.
Yeah, I don't sleep well. That's not earthquake nightmares. I just wake up constantly. Constantly.
Anxiety? Anxiety?
Probably.
You know, my anxiety is like I started sleeping with the dog's leashes next to my bed just in case something happens. Like, what am I thinking? I don't know.
I always love talking to you. I'm glad we got to do this.
Me too. Thank you for asking me to do this. I'm so happy to do this. This is great.
We'll talk again soon. That was Joey King, and that's it for this week's Just for Variety. Thanks for listening. Coming up on the next episode, I've got Nicholas Gazeltine. You know, Nicholas and I always have a good time when we're together. The star of Red, White, and Royal Blue sits down with me to chat about the very sexy, steamy Mary and George and becoming a Harry Styles-like pop star for The Idea of You, his new rom-com with Anne Hathaway. Until then, make sure to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And for all breaking and exclusive Hollywood news, go to Variety.com. And that's it for now. See you later.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.